Good morning. Welcome back to the second hour of the Outdoor Show. All right, it is 5 o'clock here in the Bayou City. All right, this morning we have phones and everything, so we're going to go up to Concan or wherever this rascal's at. He's on the river somewhere, enjoying living the dream up there. Chris Crocker, CCO, what's up, man?
I'm sitting right above it.
Looking down on the river this morning?
Yeah, I'm literally right above it. I'm probably about 35 feet above it, and distance-wise, I'm probably less than 40 yards.
Yeah, beautiful place up here at River Inn. Clear water, man.
Man, I tell you what, I've been coming up here for a long, long time, and right now the river is the best I've ever seen it. It is a floatable, kayakable river right now, not a get-up-and-walk like you used to have to. I mean, it's really nice. It's awesome. Really, really clear. You know, that rain did some devastation, but it really helped a lot of places around here. All the aquifers completely full. All the springs are running everywhere. I mean, it's paradise right now up here.
Yeah,
sure.
It is pretty up there. It's beautiful.
So, well, Monday, we kicked off the season. We had a really good day Monday, a really good day Tuesday. And then Wednesday morning, it kind of slowed up pretty good. And the afternoon picked up. Thursday, we kind of did about the same thing. It was slow in the morning and about half average in the afternoon. And then Friday, we had a really good day. The morning was slow, but the afternoon made up for it. I think we had about 55 out yesterday, and the morning was, you know, threes and fours everywhere, and then the afternoon everybody kind of picked up, and most of the guys ended up with their limits. And tell you what, we had a lot of gals out here this year already too.
Really? Well, that's good. It's good to hear. And yeah,
you know, we still do the kids under 13 hunt for free, and you know, last year we did almost 200 kids.
That's awesome.
So we're off to a good start this year, and I've really noticed a lot more women are getting involved and having a good time, and they're showing up, some of these guys.
Kind of seeing that for years, man. I remember fishing back in the day, and not many women fished back when I was, you know, young, and boy, the ones that did, they were nasty. They were awesome.
Yeah, they are. I think they're a whole lot more focused than we are.
You think? A man's mind does wander a lot.
Yeah, I spent about 7 hours Thursday checking out our South Zone stuff, and it looks like it's going to be really good, like always. We picked a new place up over in Canipa that's just south of town. It's a little, like a pizza slice almost, but kind of rounded on the ends, and it's a little over 400 acres, and it's got hay grazer in it that one section of it's irrigated, one section of it's not. So with all that rain they got down here, that stuff came up and headed and then just kind of died. So the birds are hitting that pretty well. And of course our place over towards Dehanus there at Clary's is always on fire. It's got sesame in it, and they had almost the whole place in Milo, and it's been cut, but there's a lot of grain on the ground still. That rain it missed it by yards. It's amazing how that little section over there is still in a pretty heavy drought, but just on the other side of the highway or just east or just
isn't
west
that strange
of it,
how that works.
I mean, it's like there's an umbrella there. It's crazy.
Yeah, well, it's like the point I live on Trinity Bay. It's that same phenomenon. It's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at the drought map right now and look right around, right there between Dehanus, it's a bullseye. I mean, it literally looks like a bullseye. You know, and that's right there. I don't know if you guys are familiar with it, but the Squirrel Creek Ranch is right there. It backs up to it. And they look like they've had some pretty good rain, but just on the other side of the fence, it looks like a desert. I mean, it's crazy how it just misses little places like that. And then, of course, that rain we got, I think it was Monday evening, that opening day, it rained about 3 inches. And just on, literally on the other side of the fence, it was bone dry. We were on the west side of 127, and the east side of 127, about a half a mile over, got pounded.
Got all the rain, and y'all got
We had a mud fiasco getting those guys out of the field up there in Sabinal.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, my son called me, and he goes, Dad, you got a cinch strap? I go, why? You know, because it was bone dry where we were at. He goes, well, we got about 3 inches here in about 30 minutes, and everybody's stuck. And I told him, I said, dude, all you got to do is just sit there and wait. You know, as dry as this ground is, that stuff sucks it up. And they waited for about an hour, hour and a half, and it started, you know, sucking down in the ground, and they finally got everybody out. But it was a mud fiasco.
I'll send
you a picture of his truck, and it's, you know, he had a nice white truck. Now it's earth tone. But that's what hunting's about. You know, it's how you handle the situations and you know, make the best of it.
Did anybody hunt south of the highway and kill any white wings yesterday afternoon?
No, both the places we've got a few white wings on it, but we didn't want to booger them up.
Yeah.
You know, there's just, if it was just pounded with white wings, we'd be in there, but it wasn't. You know, there was some there, but not enough to go down there and booger it up for the opener next week.
Yeah.
Have you seen what day that opens next week?
No.
Opens on a Sunday.
On a Sunday?
Yeah. Yeah, the 14th. They do what they got to do.
It is
on
the 14th. I'm looking at it. That's crazy, man. Yeah. I mean, what's one day?
We had a Monday opener, and then we, for
now,
Central,
now
we
got
now
a
we
Sunday,
got a Sunday
opener. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's kind of thrown me off, you know, because I'm used to, you know, hunting Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and
sure,
taking it easy on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, and maybe a Thursday hunt. And shoot, we've hunted every day so far, and I think we've got about 75 or 80 this morning.
Well, I know Bink sent me a text yesterday afternoon. We were texting back and forth, and he was in Bay City, and they were pounding on the white wings in Bay City yesterday.
Yeah, you know, they're in some spots where they just don't normally show up, and they're there. You know, and up here, it always takes a front or two before we can, get those birds moving around. But most of the white wings we've got right now, we call them town birds because that's where they're hanging out, is in town.
Yeah, they love the neighborhoods. I got a ton of them at my house, but I've got just as good a mix of morning doves as I do white wings on my bird.
Well, we had a guy yesterday that killed three birds. He killed one morning dove, one white wing, and one ringneck. Sitting in the same spot.
So, how many boxes of shells did he shoot?
Oh, Lord. You know, that's about what it's all about anymore. A lot of these guys go, can I get
burn that powder, baby?
You know, unless you're pulling that trigger, you're not going to shoot anything. And if I see somebody that shoots two or three boxes of shells and they don't have but four or five birds, that ain't on us.
I'm looking at that. And Chris's truck, man, it's destroyed.
It was pretty bad.
If I owned a car wash, I'd be running out there with a red flag going, you're not bringing that in here. That's nasty.
Yeah, I told him, I said, don't go to that car wash in town. We'll get banned from the Sabbath now if you do that, you know. So he left it on there for about 3 days, and by the time he got back to Houston, it started hardening up and falling off, and he pulled it up in the middle of his front yard and knocked the dirt off of it, filled the low spots in his front yard with that. So,
well, let it dry good and then drive down a rough road and knock it all off.
And that's what it did. A lot of it came off, you know, but there's still a lot on there. And he took it over to the car wash. And he's been going there for years and years and years, and they just kind of laughed at it. But they said he took them about 35 minutes. They finally got it all cleaned up. Got the undercarriage is what was bad, because we had just had that field shredded, and that hay, the cut hay and that mud, you know, that just turned into concrete.
Like an adobe house under there.
Exactly. I mean, it was it was crazy, something else. So, but you know, we're going to do the same thing we've been doing. This, you know, I've been coming up here since 1991 doing this, and I can't believe
been
I've been doing it that
time,
long,
brother. Long time.
You know, I tell you what's really, really cool is I've got some guys that were bringing their kids out here, and now those guys.
Now the kids are bringing their kids.
Exactly.
It's business, man. Generations keep coming.
Yeah, it's really cool to see that, you know. And like
it
I say,
is.
The amount of women that are coming now has quadrupled in the last 3 years. I mean, you know, we used to have maybe 10 or 15 a year, and now we're having 70, 80. You know, they're just and they're enjoying it. And some of them are just as good a shot as you've seen from anybody.
Oh yeah, no doubt.
I had a group of two older guys who probably my age or a little older, and their sons that were probably Christopher's age, you know, in their late 30s, early 40s. And as soon as I pulled up, the old guys were smiling and the young guys aren't so smiling. And I said, well, I can tell who can shoot and who can't. But yeah, we hunted the Roche Ranch yesterday, and it's got the Sabinal River that pretty much cuts it smooth in half, and it's really a beautiful, nice spot right there, just outside of town. We're probably less than, I don't know, maybe a third of a mile away from that big sunflower field, so it's a lot of transit birds coming across, and we've got a big lake on it. The lake is the tank, lake or tank, whatever you want to call it. It's a
get set up right, just pure passing shots, man.
Yeah, it's keep your eye on the sky and don't look at your phone. You know, we got guys that I see it every day. They get out there and they're standing on their phone, and birds are just lighting all over them. And you know, it's like, hey, dude, you got to put that phone down and pick that gun up.
Yeah, we're gonna play with a phone or we're gonna hunt. You know, I see that.
Use your index finger, not your thumbs. But, you know, exactly. So far so good. You know, we had a little hiccup on Wednesday morning, but, you know, the afternoon picked it up. And yesterday was kind of the same. The morning was slow and the afternoon was really good. Today we're hunting a ranch that we've left alone for 4 days, so it should be spot on. Got a couple of tanks on it.
Well, cool.
We were going to hunt it yesterday, but they were pulling cattle out of it, so we stayed off of it yesterday until they got that done. So we're
all right,
put all
buddy.
Of our eggs in one basket.
Well, hey, throw out some info. Somebody wants to get up there and come do it up. Have some fun.
Sure.
Get away.
Check us out at TexasBestDoveHunt.com or CCOTexas.com. And you can give my son a call on booking information. It's 512-587-3791. Come on down.
Real quick, does Leon still have his place up there that David and I went to? That ranch? Is he still hunting that?
No, he's still hunting, but he's moved to another place that's a little bit farther west.
Okay.
I need to call him and have him call you. I mean, he's really got it going on.
I haven't talked to him in a while. I need to get hooked back up with old Leon. That's a good old boy right there. Good guy.
I tell you what, he ain't much to look at, but he's really good at what he does, you know.
Oh boy. I hope he's not listening. I doubt it. All right, Crocker. Well, hey man.
I'll give him a shout, bud.
All right, pretty boy. We'll see you, man.
All right, bye guys.
All right. All right, that's Chris Crocker up in Concan up there. Talking from the Dove Lease. All right, well, we're going to take a quick break. You're listening to The Outdoor Show. We'll be right back. Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. 519 here in the Bayou City. Let's run down to G-Town now. Tiki Island, check in with Captain James Plogg. Morning, James. What's up?
What's up, buddy?
How you doing?
Sitting here looking at this weather.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not too good. No, it ain't terrible. Well, it ain't good.
No.
But, well.
It could be worse, but 11 to 14, that's what I'm showing at Eagle Point.
Yeah. See, they got it dropping out after about 8 o'clock. Buoy weather kind of changed it. But you look at all that fish weather stuff, it's got it dropping out. They got that front coming, like, in the morning, what I saw just a minute ago.
Yeah. Well, that's good. I hope that's right.
Well, it ain't no good for me. Yeah, see, they got it at, like, 2 o'clock in the morning. It's like 0, 1, 2, and then it switches from the north, and then it smokes the rest of the day.
Yeah.
Yeah, but like 8 o'clock, it's 10 gusting to 13, and then at noon, 15. So these are one in front.
The front will get through here and lay everything down for a few days.
Nah, it's not. It's terrible.
It's not? It's going to be northeast?
No. Hell no, it's northeast, east. See, Thursday, September 11th at 11 o'clock, it's 17, gusting to 20. Nah, it's no good.
Oh, man.
You got about 2 weeks of this. When does it get good? Man, maybe on the 13th.
Yeah.
But see, the fetch is coming off the land. So it don't have to, you know, it don't have to die down a whole lot for it to get calm. You know, when you got that fetch coming off the Gulf where it blows 20 coming from offshore, it takes a while to settle down. Man, but something happens on Monday the 15th. There's another front, and it's terrible. It's like, man, I need to go shine my golf clubs up.
Well, northeast wind is nice to play in. It's nice and cool and.
Yeah, like whatever happens.
Work on that. Work on that slice or that hook.
Oh, hey! If I had a list of stuff to work on, you'd have to hang it out.
That's why I hung it up.
We played at Bay Forest yesterday. I actually didn't play too bad.
Did you?
I putted there.
You played golf yesterday?
Yeah.
What dog.
Well, I mean, I got all my stuff ready. I mean, I'm. To find something that's tore up, but it would cost money to fix it, so I just leave it alone.
Well, I'm ready for the Ryder Cup, man.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, whatever happens like on Monday the 15th, it's terrible. 20 gusting to 21 and raining.
Ooh. I hope that's wrong. I don't know how they can forecast that far ahead of time because a lot of these cats around here can't even pick it from day to day.
They can't figure from hour to hour, but it's just something to talk about because I'm looking at it. I look at all this stuff.
I know.
So
you becoming a textbook fisherman like Pete?
Hell no! I just
remember
I just
Pete. Man, I'd go with you and James tomorrow, but the tide ain't right, the moon ain't right. You know, the wind's out of the wrong direction. I said, "Well, stay home, man. We're gonna go get them."
Pete missed so many good trips. No, I'm just trying to see when I go and not turn upside down.
You know, we'd get a day where we could all fish together. Oh, man, I don't know, Pods. I may sit this one out. It's just not in the cards.
Oh, hey, but Pete, when I was a kid, you all had trips, and I didn't have a lot of trips. Me and Pete was fishing together. It didn't matter no matter what. Pete was negative. It didn't matter what happened.
He was a negative Nelly, wasn't he? Oh, God, you got to love him for that.
He was consistent.
Hey, remember that day? Man, I think this is back when I was still running my old Mako. That's back in the early 80s or whenever. We got up there by the river mouth, and we got on that big old set of slicks with all the reds and the trout mixed in there together. I mean, big fish, too, man. And you and I, we were throwing gold spoons.
Yeah, Pete and kept catching drum. It was his own
ball. I said,
ball.
Pete. Take that 3/4 ounce spoon off. If you're not going to work it faster than that, then put a 1/2 ounce or a 1/4 ounce on. You and I were throwing 3/4 because we'd throw them so far and get in front of those fish, and we just work it fast. Put your rod up and reel it, man. He got so mad.
Did he? Hey, I think Pete ended up breaking his rod.
He broke both of his rods, and then he looked down there at one of mine in the rod holder. And I said, don't you even think about it. You just sit and watch the show. We're going to catch your limit, too. Remember that?
Yeah.
Oh, he wouldn't talk to us for the whole way home.
Man, he got mad. And you told him. I didn't say nothing. I was wailing away on him, but he, you know, Pete had that old slide. Now, when his slide worked.
Yeah, that slide and glide.
Yeah, he could put it on you when it was working. Now, he beat me so bad a few times, and so did you. But Pete had that, sir, man, we were at Elm Grove one day, and it was good. And we were fishing with Marylers. And he put that glide on me. Man, I couldn't get him. Man, he absolutely destroyed me. And I'm like, man, Pete, I think I ended up going away another way. I probably walked away from the fish.
That's the best thing you can do is just walk away from it and go figure it, get your own school and figure it out yourself. I'm not going to sit there and watch a show and get
no,
down like
somebody,
that.
We were somewhere, oh, me and you or somebody, my guys are like, I'm going to go down there by him. I said, go out here and watch the show, buddy, but you ain't going to do too good. Well, he's catching them. I said, well, he's going to catch them wherever he goes. We got them right here. Just fish. We just fish.
That's don't stomp all over these Easter eggs to go find more.
Catch what you got. Buddy. Yeah, but this happens in talking about that weather again, which ain't nothing you can do about it, but.
No.
I guarantee you. Your next window, I've seen this a million times. Your next window is going to be probably about that last week of September and first week of October.
Yeah.
Because you know yourself, these first few fronts that come through, they never go nowhere. They go out there and they stop. Even though you got a little punch to them, they don't do nothing. They don't go nowhere.
Well, what I hate about the fronts is that next day when the high pressure slides to the east and you get that northeast wind. But, you know, don't plan on going early. Just wait around a while. That northeast wind will always lay down for you.
It usually will fade out, man.
It will. It really does.
It kind of comes off the beach. You know, it ain't super friendly. But like the other day, it got northeast pretty hard. I mean, 15, 16. It might have blown 17. I mean, it was clipping pretty good. It got nasty. Was thick to get nasty. But it was, you know, it was about, it even wasn't even true northeast. It was about 50 degrees. So it's kind of got coming off the beach. Mm-hmm. But you take that wind, the same wind, and kick it about 90 degrees, 100 degrees, and let it blow about 17. It's to get crappy pretty quick.
I think some of the worst rides offshore I had was on a northeast wind at about, well, it was 5 to 7s. Them guys said, we want to go anyway. Can you find blue water? I said, yeah, it's always out there, but you ain't going to like getting there. Remember, they were ostrich farmers from Australia. They
ostrich
just had to go.
I remember.
So I take them out there, and me and my deckhand had to catch all the fish because they're all laying in the bottom of the boat puking everywhere. I mean, that went on for hours. I said, y'all better drink something. Y'all are dehydrated. You're going to die.
Yeah. Well, it really ain't nothing, you know, even you know, back then you could go out, you know, toward the hill bank and A-68 and all that stuff out there.
That's what I did. That's exactly where I went, 72, 68, all that, A-20. Got a big
but on the northeast,
20.
Yeah, on the northeast, you're still quartering it, you know. It's not,
oh, yeah.
It still sucks.
It does. It's rough and wet.
Man, I've had a bunch of bad boat rides.
All you can do is just man up.
Well, you just, how bad you want it.
Yeah.
You know?
How bad
I mean,
you want
can go and you can catch them. Depends on, you know, talking about Johnny Walker, he's one of the best in the business at you know, doing what he does, fishing offshore. But I don't know why he sold the Katana, but that was the boat. I don't know. It was just too much or I don't know why he sold the Katana, but hey, man. 3 to 5 foot sea chop, which you know,
put her on the step, never look back.
Sit up there and drink coffee, man.
Well, when I talked to him on the phone getting a report, he'd be running out and he'd be in the wheelhouse. Just hey, you wouldn't even know he was in a boat. Just
well, I think you got to charge so much, Mickey. I talked to a kid yesterday. He was at the I was at Moody's first hitting some balls, and he's a kid that was a customer of mine. He's fished with me since he's a kid. Well, they're supposed to go snapper fishing. And I know who he's going with because I sent him with them a couple, 2 or 3 years ago, and they got to be probably that guy's best customer.
Yeah.
Oh, man, it's 3 foot. I said, well, I know he's got a 47 or 42 Freeman I don't know if it's his, but he has one that he runs. Oh, yeah, well, it's more money. I said, well, get your money out. Now you're sitting out here fiddling around at the golf course. You could be out there fishing.
Yeah.
You know, take that 47 Freeman and send it at 3 foot. You know, without. So it's a lot of money, and I get it. But if you get, you know, you take six guys, and let's just, I'll pick a number, probably pretty close, between $4,000 and $5,000. That's a lot of cheese, but you take six guys, $1,000 a piece. You know, you catch some ling, and, you know, this year's been a little bit better. They're catching a lot of, you know, the ling fish is not great, but it's been better, and the Dorado fish has been good. So you catch a little bit more stuff.
Yeah. Well, that's where we're at. But, it's been a pretty good year in the Gulf all around, especially for blue marlin, man. It's been a really good year.
No, the bill fishing in Texas is unprecedented. What the numbers
it
they
is.
Put up, I'll tell you a story about that in a minute. What me and Cameron was talking about that, and it's how everything works. It's so much different. You know, I may have even said this already. He asked me, like, now, if we'd have stayed right here, do you think we could have caught a tarpon? I said, yeah, eventually. But it's just like this. We don't want to catch one. Those mindset and those days are over because we all got good. Now we want 15 bites, 20
yeah.
bites, 10 bites.
You want doubles catching and triples on. Pull up and turn her sideways and get doubles and triples, man.
Same. And I said, you're the same.
Yeah, well,
you're
we're like that with our trout fishing. Same thing.
Yeah. Hey, man, tell Rod and him, hey, man, we're going to go catch a sailfish. What? A sailfish? No, man, we want to go catch 18. So now the whole mindset of what you do is different. It's just different. And nobody's happy with what you can get because everybody got good. Once the bottle on that genie pops out of that bottle, you can't put her back in.
No, there's no putting her back in. No.
You know, we all got good.
All right, let me get good at a commercial break, and I'll be right back with you, man.
Go ahead.
All right, buddy. All right. Well, the Belleville Meat Market, what a great place to shop. I mean, if you've never been to the Belleville, you owe it to yourself. If you're ever up in that part of the world, you need to stop in and check it out. Full menu of pecan smoked barbecue. That's served Monday through Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. And along with that, you can get pecan smoked pulled pork, homemade hot dogs. Bulk pricing is available on all their fresh ground beef and all pecan smoked sausage products, homemade hot dogs, original cheddar cheese, and check out all their great block party headquarters stuff like stuffed pork tenderloin, stuffed peppers, mushrooms. They've got it all going on at the Belleville Meat Market. And check out their new chuck wagon patties, half-pound beef patties seasoned and loaded with cheddar cheese. And their grab-and-go snacking products like beef jerky, turkey jerky, dry sausage, and dry sticks. The Belleville's been celebrating serving the greater Houston community for over 42 years. That's the Belleville Meat Market, where meat is our middle name. Good morning. Welcome back to the Outdoor Show. It's 5:37. All right, James.
All right, man.
All right.
But, yeah, it's just like, you know, we got good at doing something, and now nobody wants to go unless it's flat, unless you can see them. And I could go right now, when it gets daylight. I don't know where a lot of tarpon are, but I know where some are.
Mm-hmm.
And I turn that boat sideways and throw everything I own out of the side of it, and I got a good chance to catch one.
Yeah.
One. But nobody. For instance, it got rough Wednesday. And the first time I turned that boat sideways, we drifted we had stopped. Let me back up. I'd stopped a couple of times, and it was no good. And, man, there was a little color change, a little bit of bait. It's a spot. It's a place. You know, I got numbers all up down that beach. Just blind fishing. They can't. Mike Williams said it one time, and it's true. They can't fly. They got at some point in time swim through here. Now, they might not necessarily swim by you.
Right.
Got to come through here. And we drifted about 5 minutes. I said, hey, man, I just marked like they were going off the screen. I just marked like six fish on side skin. I mean, I know what a tarpon looks like on it. I said, man, hey, you just had six fish draw screen. About that time, center redder boom, piles on it, man, smoking it, and it comes undone. I'm like, man, you got to be kidding me. And then I get the fish on the up and down machine. I said, okay, here's what happened. I marked them fish on the port side. You know, we're drifting. So I mark them on my port side where we're drifting from. So in my mind, see, those fish are coming down the beach. They're coming. They were swimming toward the boat. So you don't know what your line's doing because it's underneath the water. I mean, I'm tight. I'm bowed up, dude. He smoked it. And he comes off. That means he was probably coming at the boat. He felt it because I had chafe up about 10 inches, you know, from the hook. So he had it in his mouth. He just let it go. But if you'd got him on side skin or seen him on your starboard side and then got him on the up and down, that means they're going the other way and you're going to catch those fish. But my point of that whole stupid story is you don't have to see them. For years, we sat out there 3-4 foot seas. We ain't got enough sense to know no better, almost turn it upside down and catching them, dude, catching them. But were we going to catch 10 that day and jump 20? No, we were fishing for a tarpon.
Yeah.
That day, we might have caught 3, you know. But nowadays, you're a loser if you do that.
Well.
So it's just different. Just like cameras. You know, hey, if you don't go out there, you got 2 bridge teasers, 2 dredges. You got 110 baits rigged up. They ain't going to catch 4 sailfish. Let them go catch 30 of them. That's just the mindset.
Yeah, earlier when I was talking to Bill, I was looking up ladyfish, the growth rate on them, you know, on skipjacks and stuff. And
they're nasty.
And I noticed on there, I didn't know it, but sailfish only live like 4 or 5 years.
They don't live very long. Hey, they're living a lot.
They grow super fast, and they become fast, and, you know, to avoid predators.
Well, it's funny, and Cameron and I were talking about this. Now, it was good last year. It was okay. The big dogs caught them. The guys that are good, they got them. Regular people, you know, you get a couple sails, maybe a blue, you know, maybe a couple of whiteys. And the tarpon fishing was really, really good inshore last year. I may have already said this stupid story. This year, our fishing's been slow. Those guys out there absolutely destroyed them. Oh, man, Cameron was trying to really do good in the Houston Big Game. He's either leading or in second place. And he called me last night about 6:30 and said, well, I just talked to John Bowen. He said, congratulations, you just blew up your first engine. So they smoked one about 30 miles offshore yesterday. So,
oh, no.
Done. But luckily, Rod bought that platinum, you know, extended warranty. So,
yeah, well, that helps. That's worth it when that happens.
Yeah, about $200,000.
People asked me, said, is it worth buying an extended warranty? I said, yeah, if you break down, you'll be glad you have it.
Yeah, hey, it's only good till you need it. But that old boat's been good to them, though, man. Hey, that dude, that boat's been run hard, dude. I mean, it's been going, so. And I hate it for him.
What kind of engines do they have in that boat?
They're MTUs. I think they're, Mickey, I don't know if they're 2150s. I don't know.
Yeah.
They're 2200. They're over 2,000 horsepower apiece.
Right. That's a lot.
I think he said this had 3,200 hours on them. So, man, I hate it for him.
That's not that many hours for a diesel, though.
You know, some are different. You know, the cats. I mean, I ain't no big diesel man. Them little Cummings I had in the tackle box, you know, they were really, I think they were 8,000-hour engines, maybe.
Right.
Some are different. You know, those high ones, I'm not that smart about it, but maybe about 4,500, man. You need to start thinking about a rebuild. Yeah. You need to start thinking about
it. Time to tear them down, re-sleeve, rebuild, and go with it again.
Yeah. Think about it, dude. They're running the thing, you know.
Well, they're pushing all that weight in the water and all that, and that's, you know, I think that's another reason outboards are lasting. Well, outboards are better now than they've ever been, but
100%.
You remember back in the day, we're running these big old heavy boats with those outboards, and it was just too much for them. They just couldn't, you know, pushing all that weight.
Yeah, we were stroking them out. I think, Mickey, and I don't have no motor sponsor, okay? I don't. I pay for them just like everybody else.
Yeah.
I'm working on a deal with Mercury. Whether I get it or not, I don't know. Because I don't like a single engine on my 25, because
no.
I go too many places where ain't nobody. But anyway, maybe the best service is maybe them high, as far as hours. Because even on these Suzukis, dude, we ain't cut 3,000 hours on one.
No.
You know, but that lifetime they're getting out of them Hondas is...
Hondas just last forever. They're just, yeah, they're incredible.
But I'm excited about this Mercury deal. I don't know what I'm going to put on here. Maybe two of them little Darth Vader looking things, or I don't know what I'm going to do. But they look cool. They sound cool, but we'll just see. But nothing lasts too good. I got to put a steering helm in there. I said, man, I keep losing fluid, and I ain't even had time to look at it. I just added.
Is it the helm?
It's the helm. Yeah, it's leaking. It's inside the console. It's leaking. It's not terrible, but I can tell when I turn my batteries on and off. Man, that steering fluid on top of these Percos. So I finally got up in there the day before yesterday, and I said, yeah, this is where it's leaking. But it's, you know, you don't get no time out of that either. You go to rehelm and do all that stuff. It's $2,000 now.
Oh, I know. It's I rebuilt my last steering on the back. You know, I put the seals and you know, if we'd think about it, if you'd wipe those steering rods coming out of that hydraulic unit down, keep them clean. See, grit gets on there, salt,
grit,
you know,
gets on there.
Crystals,
exactly.
Or sand, and you know, you turn that wheel and it just keeps working its way in that seal. It finally wears them out. They start leaking, and it's a never-ending battle of fighting stuff. Maintenance is it's just part of the game you play in the fishing business. That's the way it
works.
Dude,
I was running a guy's 31 contender, and I was going to somewhere. I was going to Yacht Base to get fuel. We were going snapper fishing the next day. Hey, man, all of a sudden, I ain't steered. The wheel's just turning.
Uh-oh.
It had two rams on it, okay? Two rams for each engine. Both seals cut loose on both rams at the same time. I had to turn around and try to keep them straight and just come in clutching in and out of gear.
Oh, Lord.
And I had to reseal both of them. And even if you ain't even the reseal deal, it'll last for a while, but you ain't going to get one. Like you said, once that chrome is gotten etched or whatever,
yeah,
it's hard to save it.
It's just better, you know, it's better to just go ahead and fork out the bucks and put a whole new cylinder on there.
I know.
Might as well change out the helm while you're doing it, because it's next.
It's fixed to go out, too. That's like on these diesel trucks, you got two batteries. And, oh, man, this one's dead on this side. And just put one in there. Well, wait about 2 weeks. Another one's going to be dead.
Well, that's true, you know.
It's just like replacing these batteries for trolling motors. Well, we got lithiums now, but... Oh, man, there's my dead one right there. You go put one dead one on, one good one on there.
Well, then the next one in line is going to go bad. Then the next one. Just replace all three of them. That's what I do.
Yeah, people know, man, why y'all charge so much? I said, come on, come and do this. Let me show you how this works.
Yeah, come get you some of this.
It's terrible. But
there's more to it than just buying gas. You got it. Insurance is just ridiculous now.
Everything's just high, Mickey. It's just high, especially like tarpon fishing. I just do this because I enjoy it. It's the most stupid business on the planet. You don't get to go enough. Now, Pender's doing good right now. He's got him a pretty good little gig. And I ain't going to sit at the jetties and catch bull redfish. I ain't doing all that stuff.
Yeah.
So it's a terrible business. I just bide my time till it's time to actually go back to real work where you can actually, you know, at least pay a few bills. But
in the gas business, that's cutting a fat hog right there. You can pay all your bills every month.
Just paying some bills. Hey, how about when you just stack them up right there? Man, this guy's probably not going to cry too much if I don't pay him right now. But I better pay this guy right here.
Yeah, said, wonder how long I can get by with this one. All right, hey, buddy. Well, how you been?
Hey, remember me and you'd be going down the road. Say, hey, man, you got any money for fuel? Well, no. How many packs of cigarettes do you got? Well, we ain't got but two. I was like, man, this ain't good.
We're in trouble.
We're in trouble.
Oh, all right, buddy. Throw them out a number. Buddy. Somebody wants to come go to the bottom with you.
All right, brother. 409-771-7306.
Going to the bottom.com. All right, Plog. Hey, have a good day, man. Hit them straight.
You too, buddy. We'll holler at you.
Later. Bye. All right. All right, let's jump the bridge. Let's head over to Offit's Bio from Tiki Island now and check in with old Sharky Marquez. Michael, good morning. What are you doing, man?
What's up, buddy?
You rigging up?
Man, I'm walking.
Icing up?
Yeah, all the above here in a minute.
Yes, sir.
I'm looking at this weather, man. I know. Who knows, man? Who knows? I'm supposed to have Mama Sharky out on the boat with me this morning. One of our customers, some of his buddies ended up dropping off, and he said, yeah, you should invite the fam, and everybody's busy. But I said, but Mama Sharky said, I'll go. So,
and where anyway, y'all going?
Well, yeah, sure, we were going 80 miles.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I know. I was going to blast
your mama up like that.
I know, man. I know. I was going to blast out to the east. It looks like it's the only area that, you know, has any sort of hope of not being crazy bad. But yeah, I took yesterday off because I seen how rough it was. You know, gonna be, and 20, what was it? It was gusting 21, 22 miles an hour out there.
Yeah,
and
you sure was.
You know, had a lot of buddies go and do it, and, you know, said it was absolutely horrible the first, you know, several hours, and then finally tapered off there at the end. But, you know, not fun, and I don't want to do that to anybody really today, so.
There's pretty good water rain out there, kind of straight out from Matagorda and all that, kind of drifting this way a little bit.
Yeah,
it's not going to come inland, but it's going to move, you know, kind of northeast in the Gulf. So yeah, you got to watch out for that.
Yeah, I know it, man. A lot of things that are a little bit questionable this morning, looking at that radar and looking at everything. So
yeah, and the wind and then the seas.
Yeah. I saw the wind, so I pushed I'm actually still at my house. I pushed the trip to 8 a.m., trying to give it just a little bit of time to
kind of to back, you know, off a little.
Yeah, and it's going to.
That's what Bowie weather was saying.
Yeah, yeah. From what I can see, it's going to taper off and by like 10 a.m. So my plan was to leave at 8. You know, we won't hit the jetties till 8:30 from our place. And then, you know, by 10 a.m. or, you know, I was seeing not a lot of wind left out there.
Well, hopefully it's right.
Yeah, I know. If not, buddy, hold on tight. Yeah, who knows?
There's a lot of rain north of us, too, up around that Dallas area. I noticed.
Yeah, I saw that, too.
That ball game last night, I was watching. They had said there was lightning, and I flicked it on radar, and I said, oh, man, there's a lot of rain up there.
Yeah, yeah. It's
towards Tyler and Longview this morning, and there's a bunch around Waco and Killeen. I guess that's ahead of that front line coming, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, it's sounding, the more I'm talking to you, the more it's sounding not very appealing going 80 miles offshore.
Should I go south or should I go north?
Yeah.
Wait a minute, I'm in the sucker hole. I'm in between. I'm fishing.
Yeah, I'm in between both.
Boy,
oh,
how
my
many
God.
Times that happened offshore, man? You run.
Yeah, it's not great.
Good clear area and go, man, I'm doing good here. We got some spots to fish here and this, and then the walls close in. It's just a bigger sucker hole.
That's right, brother. That's right. It sucks, man. I finally found the fish, you know, like really, really found the fish about 2 days ago. And,
yep,
you know, I know where they're at. I know I could do it. And I can't get to them, man. I know. Brutal. But that's part of being an offshore fisherman. You know, everybody wants to do it. God dang, until you get caught in that sucker hole.
Yeah.
And then you then you're good for about 2 weeks. You know, you're saying, well, maybe I ought to inshore fish from now on.
Yeah, like old Ford said on that shrimp boat, and then God showed up. And he was and mad. Then, he was mad.
Couldn't agree more, man. Couldn't agree more. I don't know.
It all works out for you today. Throw out some
thanks,
info
brother.
How people can reach you and get down and lodge up and do it all. You know, you got it going on, man. Your place looks really nice. I saw that photo the other day with all your boats and lodging.
Oh,
the ground
thanks, man.
The event center, it looks really cool.
Thank you so much, Mickey. Man, they can reach out to us on Facebook, Instagram, get on Google. Check us out at Outcast Charters Galveston. You get up on our website, Outcast Fishing with no G. charters.com. You can check out our trip packages, pricing, availability, and yeah, come on out, man. If you're ever on 61st, pull on in, say hi to us right there on 61st Street at the Bayside Event Center. We'd love to have you guys. Lodging, corporate events, you name it, come on out. Let's make some memories.
Y'all can do it. All right.
All right, well, brother. Hey, man,
good luck, and take care of Mama Sharky. Don't beat her up.
I will. That's my priority today. That's
yeah,
right,
boy. All right, man.
All right, take brother care.
Thank you, Sharky.
See you, Mickey. Thank you, ma'am.
See you now. Later. All right. All right, it's time for our top of the hour break and national anthem, all that good stuff. You're listening to the Outdoor Show here at Sports Radio 610. We'll be right back.